DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Welcome to the Vegan Report. My name is Ryan, and today we denounce the complicity of the media in animal exploitation, how they have accepted so much money to carry water for this cruel industry, promoting meat, dairy, and egg while perpetuating biased and deceitful anti-vegan beliefs. To discuss this topic, I have with me Donnie Moss, a lifelong animal rights activist who launched my new favorite activist project, Veg Media Watch. What Donnie does is scout through all mainstream media coverage of veganism or the animal cause and call out media organizations or journalists showing a clear anti-vegan bias. I asked Donnie, who should we trust in this media landscape? Does he think our movement has been infiltrated by fake vegan media outlets or activists backed by Big Ag? Does political affiliation affect how we cover the animal industry? And much more. Visit the episode notes and follow the link to Veg Media Watch social media pages. It is so satisfying to see someone expose those outrageous anti-vegan stories we all come across. And as always, please help this podcast grow by sharing it with the vegans you know. You can also subscribe and leave a good review. Every gesture is appreciated. Thank you. My first question for you is, what is driving that anti-vegan bias? Maybe it's Big Ag funding that kind of content, pulling the strings, or is it just conditioning?
I think it's a couple of things. I mean, if you look back to, was it about 10 years ago when Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods came onto the scene, and all of a sudden there was tremendous buzz about plant-based meats that really came very close to beef, for a lot of people who would take a bite of a Beyond Burger or an Impossible Burger, especially someone like me who hadn't eaten meat in about 20 years, like it felt like I was eating a burger again. And so for good reason, the meat industry, especially the beef industry, was afraid. And so, they launched a campaign and to marginalize these plant-based burger alternatives and to scare people away from eating them. So all of a sudden we started to see these news articles about ultra-processed foods. I don't think we had really heard that word before. At least I don't remember it. And all of a sudden, plant-based food was not only ultra-processed, but unnatural and artificial. And then meat was being rebranded as whole foods and simple and clean. And of course, we know that's not true at all. Meats are highly processed. And so I think that was the biggest issue. I think that's probably the main reason why we see so much anti-vegan bias in the mainstream media, because these meat and dairy companies spend a fortune on advertising. And I think to some extent, these media outlets are beholden to these meat and dairy companies. When their publicists call, they pick up the phone because they're advertisers. So they're spending money on advertising, they're spending money on PR, and they're also spending money on influencers, all to spread this anti-vegan, pro-meat propaganda. And so that's what we're up against. And also, you've just got media outlets maybe who aren't getting advertising dollars from Big Ag and maybe aren't being pitched by publicists from Big Ag, but they post articles with clickbait titles. Vegan isn't healthy. Wait, I'm going to click on that. You know, these provocative clickbait titles and those titles have consequences. I've seen many instances since I started Veg Media Watch of these articles that are really scare people away from a plant-based diet, and that's dangerous because that's leading people to eating more meat and dairy and other animal foods.
That's a great point because people are not reading the article. They're just reading the headline and they're getting what they want to get from it, and that's it. But going back to that anti-vegan bias, it's funny because I had a conversation with a friend recently, and she told me about an organization called the Animal Agriculture Alliance. Do you know of them?
I d was that d were they rebranded? Did that used or that, is that an industry organization? An
It is from Big Ag, yes.
definitely sounds familiar. Yes.
Well, they have some initiatives where they sponsor content creators to
Right.
put out, good content about meat. Well, my question is, how do we know who to trust? Where do we turn to? What are the media outlets that are on our side, and which ones have chosen, to go against veganism and the whole animal cause? So, are there any signs to look for to see if the media outlets that we normally follow have been captured by Big Ag?
Yeah, I think we need to look at not necessarily the media outlet as a whole, but each individual outlet, because you'll find that every media outlet might do, I shouldn't say everyone, but many media outlets will post both positive and negative stories. And so I can't make any generalizations. What I will say is that, as part of what I do at Veg Media Outreach is roll up my sleeves and investigate what's behind a story. So there's one publication in India that w in which a doctor was writing. So I guess as a guest, I don't know if she's not a journalist, but a doctor writing maybe op-ed pieces disparaging plant-based diets, just attacking veganism, using the credibility of her medical degree to do so. And that makes it even more dangerous. But, when I look into her affiliations, I saw, wait, she's tied to the beef industry, or I don't remember that in that particular case, but often you have to follow the money to understand why an article is biased. But again, sometimes it's just as simple as plain old clickbait. But yeah, it's a good question. How do you know what's fair and what's truly biased? I mean, sometimes it's just so clear that it's an anti-vegan propaganda piece. But sometimes when if they present both sides, sometimes we just have to accept that they've included the other side, and I can't really call that out because there's some fair balance. So I'm looking at each article on its own, not in the broader context of the media outlet.
And I've seen that you focus a lot on traditional medias. And I was wondering, what is your opinion on them? Because for me, those are a dying breed. We won't have them around in maybe 10 years. Who knows? I might be wrong. But I'm all about, independent medias, like the one I'm building with this podcast. So what do you think about them? And of course, I should add, the reason why they're dying out is because they have lost the trust of the public.
As Veg Media Watch, I can't go after everything. I do see what you're referring to. These influencers who are using their platforms, and they might have hundreds of thousands, if not more, followers, and they're posting this anti-vegan propaganda. And I do think we need to go after it. The problem is with these influencers, they don't have a boss. They're not accountable to anybody, except maybe their followers. Whereas in the mainstream media, when I target, if let's just say a particular reporter, and then I copy in a tweet, for example, the editors and call out the recklessness or the bias, then it's conceivable that the editors would go back to the reporter, And say something, or say maybe we have to be more careful about this. There's more accountability. There are many instances in which a reporter has written maybe a balanced article or even a favorable article, but the editors who choose the headline pick something provocative that has a negative sort of connotation. And so sometimes I'll call that out and I'll say this, it doesn't matter how fair balanced an article is, if the headline, which is what more people are going to read, is anti-vegan and unfair. There's just with the mainstream media, there's more accountability, there's more of a system in place to hold sort of decision makers accountable than there is on social media. But I agree with you. We're going to have to go after these influencers. They're probably being paid a lot of money by the meat industry to spread pro-meat, anti-vegan propaganda. But again, there's less accountability there. There's less of a way to hold them accountable.
That is very smart and insightful from you. Yes, definitely. I see it. I see the value in targeting them, because also they are organizations that call themselves objective and, following the truth and all of that. So yeah, we expect more from them.
Yeah, also keep in mind that just because the mainstream media does seem like it's sort of a dying breed, as is K or cable networks, the mainstream media still uses social media to post its content, and there's still a lot of engagement there. So I do think there's value in targeting the mainstream media. And there are a lot of people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and over who rely on the mainstream media. And of course, the older the population, the less likely they are to use social media. People like my parents don't use social media at all. They get all of their news from the mainstream media. And I want to be sure that the news that they're getting about veganism is fair and balanced.
I'm all about independent medias, but they're not at the point where they can break stories or send people in war zones, to cover an international conflict or something like that. We're not at that level yet, and so their importance of mainstream media is still there. Now, if you had to rank them, is there a mainstream media organization out there that does worse than others? And also, is there one that does better than others in terms of, I guess, fairly reporting on the vegan and animal cause?
Well, I'll say that, I'll often complain about the New York Times and the Washington Post when I see an article that it feels unfair, and of course we're hypersensitive because we know that the stakes are so high with between the animals and the planet and human health. But I will say that, both of those media outlets do have regular contributors who report on factory farming and the impact of animal agriculture on the planet. And so, but I after doing Veg Media Watch for a couple of months, I can't see that I've seen any trends. One might make certain assumptions about like the New York Post, which is a more conservative media outlet, but then I'll see positive stories coming out of there about veganism and animals. And then negative stories that coming out of publications or media outlets that we might think of as being more progressive. So sometimes I think, we tend to think that animal rights and veganism is more of an issue on the left, but that's not always the case. And we shouldn't speak in such a way that it is, because then we alienate people on the right who embrace the vegan ethic and believe that animals should have the right to live in peace.
I second your point. I mean, let's remember that Matthew Scully, one of the most ardent defender of this cause, now he has written two books, denouncing factory farming and promoting veganism, is was for a long time, I think, chief editor of National Review, which is pretty, you know, right-leaning.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and we have people in the animal rights movement in New York City who for years have leaned to the right politically. And, you know, many of us have been quick to dismiss them. But we do that at our own peril. We can't afford to alienate people on the right or left or center. We need everybody who believes in this cause to join us and speak out. You know, it's interesting. Right now, we have a mayoral race taking place in New York City. The primary just took place, and the general election is in November. And there are four candidates. There's a Democrat. There are two independents, two candidates running on the independent line, and there's a Republican. And the Republican has a much better record on animal rights and than any of the other candidates to the left of him politically. And so in the past, I wouldn't have considered a Republican. But this particular Republican, his name is Curtis Sliwa, he accompanied me and another animal rights activist to live animal markets a few months ago when there were bird flu outbreaks at many of the live animal markets in New York City. And we wanted to go in and document the conditions and to show the public that despite the bird flu outbreaks, these markets are still operating, that people, members of the public are still going inside of these markets with no PPE, no masks, nothing, and shopping in an area where there are absolutely birds who are carrying bird flu. And so because walking into these markets and filming is dangerous, and we know that the employees can get violent, Curtis Sliwa, the Republican running for, on the, you know, the guy running on the Republican ticket, accompanied us and used himself to shield us from the employees who were spraying hoses and getting physically violent. He's a big guy. There was no media there. There was no one to give him credit for what he was doing. He was just doing that because he believed, and this is, keep in mind, during a campaign when he should have been out doing campaign events, he was with two animal rights activists helping us document conditions in a wet market and then saying to us after, you know, I can't believe I ever ate chicken. You know, because it's mostly chickens in those markets, poultry. And so, yeah, so you never, I guess the point I'm trying to make is you just don't know where you're going to get support, if it's from a right-leaning person or a left-leaning person. And as it turns out, this particular candidate is moderate. He's not a right-wing anything. And so, right as of now, I'm planning to vote for this guy, despite the fact that he's a Republican. I've never done that before.
That's a really interesting story. So I guess the vegan candidate who was the mayor in New right. York those past few years was a disappointment.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. I forgot. I mean, Eric Adams, who is our mayor and is now running on the independent line and who is not doing well in the polls and is really just going to be a spoiler, he came into office espousing a plant-based diet, which is terrific. And I think he, you know, maybe introduced, you know, some meatless Fridays and, you know, and vegan options in hospitals and schools and all of that's great. You know, he wasn't, you know, he didn't lead by example really because, you know, he'd be out in restaurants eating fish and he wasn't an animal. He didn't subscribe to the vegan ethic that animals exist for their own purposes, that they're not here for us, they're here with us. And they're entitled to live in peace with their families, just like us. You know, he didn't subscribe to any of that. He was just plant-based for his health. And so when there's no ethical mandate tied to it, then of course, you know, you'll add in fish and, you know, we are vegan for ethical reasons. So we're not going to consume anybody. That's not the case with him. So he didn't set a great example, but I give him plenty of credit for talking about a plant-based diet, keeping it on people's radar screens, you know, but, you know, he was such a disappointing mayor for so many other reasons, the corruption, his ties to Donald Trump, you know, in order to get all of the legal, you know, the legal work against him, you know, thrown away. So he's been a disappointment. He's not going to be our next mayor. And then the other two independent candidate, the Democrat has no real record on animal rights or veganism or anything like that. That's Mamdani. And then Andrew Cuomo doesn't have much of a record either on animal rights. I mean, I used to criticize him on social media because he would post photos of himself with, trophy fishing, with these huge dead fish, smiling. So that's to me just trophy hunting in the water. So not an animal person, but the Republican is.
Wow, that's a really interesting take. And what a story, you know. If we put the media organizations on the side, what about the journalists, the reporters? So nowadays, I feel like journalists, reporters are not really committed to one media organization. They usually, you know, write articles for multiple media organizations. They are contributors for different, you know, media outlets. Are there some, and you do highlight through your initiative, you know, how some of those reporters have a tendency to hit on the animal cause and to, you know, negatively cover it. So are there some reporters worth mentioning in terms of, you know, really badly covering the animal cause, or really putting, you know, a great light on the cause?
Of course, I'm blanking out on names, but there's a New York Times op-ed writer who, for years, has been covering factory farms in depth, and he's terrific. His name maybe his name will come to me. I mean, I've been reading him for years, and I'm so grateful every time I see his name come up in an article about factory farming, which is, one of his beats. But, I wonder with regard to reporters, and you said that some work for multiple media outlets. I mean, I think they probably get assignments. And an assignment editor ha has a mandate from above to do a hit piece on plant-based meats, which we've seen a lot of, then they're probably going to take that on because it's money in their pocket. They get an assignment and they want it. And they probably know that an article like that will get a lot of clicks. And then there are, as I said earlier, there are some people who aren't necessarily journalists, but they submit op-ed pieces using their credentials as a nutritionist or a physician. And they use those credentials and post and submit articles that trash veganism and promote meat. And we know that they're employed by or supported by, meat and dairy industry lobbying groups. So it comes in all shapes and sizes, sort of this the negative these negative these hit pieces come they arise for many different reasons from many different sources. So I'm just looking at each one individually, trying to figure out what is the how did this one come about? What was the purpose of this? The article is good, but the headline is bad. Oh, that just probably means that the editors who picked the headlines were looking for clickbait to get eyes. Maybe to get eyes on the article, but then the article might be good, so that's a good thing. It really every article is different. I'm sure over time I'm going to really pick up trends, but I'm only a couple months into this, so I'm still getting my feet wet. But I'm learning, that reporters do care because in at least four occasions they've responded to me, mostly defensively, but there's been an apology. About for omitting something, omitting fair balance. So they're paying attention despite the fact that I don't really have much of a following yet. I thought, oh, once I have, thousands of followers and more engagement, then reporters and media and editors, the media outlets would be more sort of alarmed to see people amplifying what I'm putting out there. But that amplification didn't need to occur for at least some reporters to get back to me and respond. And when they're responding defensively, you're getting to them, and maybe they'll be more careful next time because they don't want this criticism. They don't want to be challenged from higher up. If they're reporters don't like to be in the spotlight in a negative way. I've learned speaking to reporters. And so they're vulnerable, as I said, more vulnerable than the influencers. Though I do think we need to target them too.
And let's make something clear. Are you covering any kind of negative coverage of the animal cause, or are you really targeting unfair coverage of the animal cause that happens to be negative?
Yeah, no, I'm covering what is clear bias and what is clear propaganda. If there's an article that is accurate and fair about an ingredient used in a plant-based food and it's based on science, I'm probably not going to call that out. If it really feels like it's a good faith news or effort to report on news. If I think it's just a hook to bash veganism, if I detect that, then I'm going to call it out. Sometimes it's a judgment call. Sometimes, it's conceivable that you would see an article that is upsetting to you and would be upsetting to me, but I feel like I can't really call it out because it doesn't really demonstrate bias. It's just information that we might not be happy about. But that's rare. More often than not, I'm finding that the negative articles don't have fair balance, or they're just straight out attack, anti-vegan propaganda that feels like it's coming from the meat industry via the mainstream media.
So you're just, it's called Veg Media Watch, but could have been called Lies Media Watch. You're actually just looking for dishonest media coverage.
It's more than just dishonest. It's just it's you know it's just clear bias. It's propaganda. It doesn't seem fair, and so that's what I'm calling out. And so I'm sure this will continue to evolve over time. I'll continue. I'm finding my voice, trying to figure out what works, trying to figure out what will engage. People in the vegan community to take part in this because there's power in numbers. Although, as I said, reporters are still responding despite how little engagement there is. Yeah, I think it'll continue to evolve. And maybe over time, as mainstream media becomes less relevant, maybe I'll shift to influencers and social media, or maybe more people will come on board. I just do this as a volunteer. It's not. But maybe other people who care about this will help out and want to join me in calling out influencers or even mainstream media outlets who are spreading anti-vegan, pro-meat, propaganda.
What consequences, bad media coverage, have on, the progress of this cause?
Well, just take a couple things. Just take what happened to Beyond Meat, which is a publicly traded company launched, its IPO with so much fanfare. The price shot up from, I don't remember what it came to market at, maybe $60 or something. I might be wrong about that. But at one point, it shot up to $250, and now it's at about $3. And that is absolutely a result of this, a campaign to attack, Beyond Meat as an ultra processed unnatural food. I mean, thankfully, a few days ago, CNN wrote a long piece saying that just because something is ultra processed doesn't mean it's unhealthy. When you combine a bunch of healthy ingredients and process them together, that doesn't necessarily create an unhealthy product. In the case of Beyond Meat, which is probably made from pea protein and soy protein, and I'm not exactly sure, but plants and other healthy ingredients, it's not, it's still a processed food, right? You're still better off eating a carrot stick than a Beyond Burger, but there is some nutritional value, and it's not nearly as bad a processed food as, let's say, a piece of bread, which is made from white flour, or potato chips, or cookies, or soda, or some salad dressings, or all of these other processed foods that people eat. But these articles, this negative coverage is giving people a free pass to, eat regular beef instead as if that's healthier than a plant-based alternative. It's not, it's dangerous. You know, when these t when I see these titles, you know, vegan diet is unhealthy, something is just egregious as that, and I've seen that. I think, boy, there are people who are going to just, you know, consume meat, dairy, eggs at, you know, and they think that not eating a healthy plant-based diet of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and legumes, that they're going to think that's okay because the media told them that veganism is unhealthy. It just feels very dangerous. And so, and I, you know, and I definitely call that out. I should add, though, because we're only talking about calling out the negative articles, I'm definitely using Veg Media Watch to amplify the positive stories, like the CNN story that I just mentioned. I mean, I was so grateful to see CNN acknowledge what we all know, that not all processed foods are created equal, and in some cases they might even be healthy. And also CNN acknowledged how much better a Beyond Burger is for the planet than a beef burger. And so we also need to encourage mainstream media outlets to publish stories promoting a healthy plant-based diet. Because if we encourage them to do it and we share those stories, they'll continue to do it in the future because that'll bring in more ad dollars for them if people see all, you know, if they can show engagement and clicks.
Yes, well, that's the thing. I feel like there is more power in denouncing, you know, the negative articles than promoting the positive ones. I think that for vegans, we want to see those po this positive coverage, and we want to see it being highlighted by Veg Media Watch or anyone. But what is lacking, what was lacking, was the denunciation part of the negative coverage. So I talked to one of the co-founders of Beyond Meat, and he said they, you know, invested lots of money in like marketing campaigns to counteract that negative messaging. But now I'm realizing they did not invest money in denouncing that horrible coverage of their products. They kind of tried to promote back their product into existence instead of, you know, denouncing the kind of coverage they received and complaining. So all of that to say, they should pay you. They should send money your way because you're really, you know, helping them out here.
Yeah, you know, I read. I have nothing to gain financially from any of this. I'm just, you know, volunteering my time to do this. But it might make sense for the plant-based community to come together and, you know, formalize, you know, Veg Media Watch and back it, and we could get more people. You know, they have an ar the other side has an army of people. I mean, you hear about these war rooms of publicists and influencers who the media industry has hired to go after the plant-based food industry and to promote the meat industry. It would be nice if we had something, you know, like Veg Media Watch, but bigger, where we're fighting back on behalf of, you know, an ethical vegan company like Beyond Meat. We want those companies to survive for the planet, for our health, for the animals, for the people who work there doing good work. So yeah, I'd sad that they should even have to fight for themselves in the court of public opinion and the media to defend against these attacks. Yeah, we look, there are lots of communities that have watchdog groups. You know, there's a Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, where I volunteered many, many years ago, writing letters to the editor of newspapers. This was before the internet, writing letters to the editors of the newspaper when there would be sort of a hit piece on gay people. The Jewish community has the Anti-Defamation League to speak out against, you know, anti-Semitism. So likewise, we should have a group fighting against anti-vegan bias and supporting those publications and people who promote veganism fairly and accurately.
Let me find back my tinfold hat. And let me ask you, do you think that there are some vegan media outlets out there or vegan influencers that are just, you know, have been captured or are actually part of that big, you know, media campaign sponsored by Big Ag? Because I see them pop up all the time, you know, all sorts of media initiatives around veganism. And I often wonder, who are the people behind that, you know? sometimes I contact them and I get no answer, which makes me even more, you know, suspicious of those initiatives. But is that something you ever wondered?
Well, I mean, you know, I do set up Google alerts for vegan, veganism, plant-based, and every day I get an onslaught of articles that come through from an organization called Veg Out, and the titles are appalling. So it bills itself as a plant-based lifestyle magazine online. It's a website. And the articles might be okay, but the clickbait titles are just, you know, are awful. Would really turn people off from veganism. Why vegans are eight ways how vegans are alienating their friends. You know, it's one title after another. So I call them out, and I do wonder if all of those articles are sort of AI generated, because when I look on their website, I can't even really find real people. And so it does feel like this particular website is exploiting us for exploiting the interest in plant-based lifestyle for clicks, making money off of it and sort of throwing us under the bus. That's the only one that comes to mind, Veg Out magazine. Is that what you were referring to?
I was thinking about that since, you know, you covered it. But also bots on social media, accounts that, you know, always disparage and say some anti-vegan stuff online, or, you know, on Reddit. I've seen so many accounts on Reddit profiles, you know, labeling themselves as vegan, but then you wonder, are you really vegan? Why are you saying that kind of stuff?
We need an army of people. I mean, what you just described, I mean, I'm not on Reddit, and I don't spend a ton of time on social media because right now I'm focused on the mainstream media. But as we've talked about, the industry, the meat and dairy industries are so big and so powerful and so wealthy that to do justice in combating them, there needs to be more of us. Now, granted, you know, even before I was doing Veg Media Watch, of course I would comment on an article that was negative or, you know, or send a letter to the editor here or there. But, and lots of people do that, which is terrific. I just think we need to do it in a much bigger scale and in a more organized fashion, like other communities do.
You're right about that. And I jokingly, you know, talk about conspiracies and all of that, but we're not talking about aliens here. It's not really that much of a crazy conspiracy to believe in, because we have so many examples out there of, for instance, foreign nations playing the cultural wars to get what they want. And, you know, we're capable of that, you know, in the US, in North America. It's not just foreign nations.
I mean, for many years, I worked in public relations. I worked for a big PR firm in New York, and we had divisions. You know, we had consumer, tech, pharma. And so I'm sure, I don't remember offhand if our company had any clients who were meat, dairy, egg, whatever companies, but I'm sure they would have if they had been, and, you know, they would have probably been paid, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to do PR for them. That was a long time ago. Now there are PR agencies that probably just specialize in social media or just, you know, the landscape has changed dramatically. But of course, yeah, the meat and dairy industries probably spend, hundreds of millions of dollars on lobbying, advertising, PR to get their messages out. And I have no doubt that there are publicists working at, mainstream PR firms who are calling and pitching anti-vegan propaganda stories. Hey, we got a new bit of information about some, the ultra-processed meat. Here's, will you run a story? And then if that media outlet knows that that this company is advertising also, then maybe they might feel sort of an obligation to run a story. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but surely that kind of thing happens. They want to support their advertisers.
But more than that, do you think they fuel, for instance, the infighting in the vegan movement? Because I see the state of this community, so to speak, and I sometimes wonder, was that all designed to fail, by someone, by a force? And does that include, a social media strategy to reach that goal? With big money from a big industry.
Yeah, it's, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, first of all, of course, we know that the meat industry and all of the kind industries that we oppose, whether it's animals for food, clothing, or entertainment, they must rejoice when they see infighting in our community in the same way that we would if we saw infighting in their community. Whether or not they actually produce campaigns that would trigger infighting among us and keep us all weak or focused on something else, like issues outside of our world, I don't know. But I can tell you that there are all of these human causes that are unrelated to animal rights that take up a lot of the oxygen in the animal rights community, and that takes away so much desperately needed attention from the animals. I mean, I participated, over the years, of course, I participated in gay rights events, BLM events, and there's never discussion about veganism or animal rights or anything. There's no consideration for animals at those events at all. But now there's an expectation among people in the animal rights and vegan mo movement that we focus on human issues, and it just takes away, it tears us apart as a community because we don't all agree. We're not all on the same side of those human issues. And it takes away so much attention from the animals who are not getting that attention in all of these other human rights causes. So I wish we would just stick to the animals. I wish we would use our animal rights platforms to focus on animal liberation and not on all of these other causes.
You know what I want? I want an investigation on, the state of this media vegan community, and have an idea of, the percentage of traffic driven by, vegan discourse and all of that. What's the percentage of bots there? What's the percentage of people, from Pakistan that, and I'm taking just one random country, but that have been hired, to pass themselves for vegan activists online, and what kind of things they say? I really want to have some answers, and some hard data, and you look at social media and the discourse online, and you feel like sometimes the majority is against you or backing up something that you disagree with. But once you understand that 50% of those likes, those comments came from bots or something like that, then you understand that this is not real, that really social media is not real, which is very cheesy to say, but yeah.
It's interesting that you say that because before I started Veg Media Watch, I was working on this Adidas kangaroo, the kangaroos are not shoes campaign, trying to compel sportswear companies like Adidas and Nike to stop using kangaroo skin. And so the last target was Adidas, and thankfully they announced, a few months ago that they would stop using kangaroo skin, and that campaign is largely over. But I would I would post videos from the protests that I would organize, and some of them had millions of views on TikTok, literally. And there would be thousands of comments, and many of them would be the same. And I had to wonder, are these real people or are these bots? And sort of, language that people of my generation, I'm 53, language that we don't use, and words that I had to look up. This is going to sound so stupid, but like thousands of comments that would start with the word bra, BURH, bra, ID, I don't give a fuck. Whatever the word initials are there. It was just, and so many of them were the same, used the same language. Were these real people? Were these real like teenagers posting these comments? I score bangers and I don't give So were those bots? Do you know? I don't even know.
Yeah, I think that we're putting our finger on the problem here. We don't know. We don't know how much of that is real. And I feel like your initiative is the first step towards having answers to those questions. I think that we have some homeworks to do.
I haven't been looking so much at bots and comments on social media, because I've been so much more focused on going after the mainstream media for their coverage. But I agree. This is something that we need to understand too, because it's potentially tearing our community apart and moving people away from veganism. And at a time when it's more important than ever that more and more of us make the switch to a plant-based diet.
I can't believe we haven't used the expression yet, but fake news is, I think, the technical terms for, dishonest media bias, although it has, a political connotation to it, as you know.
Then, the lines are blurred between new, I mean, between news and opinion, right? I mean, it used to be, I can remember when I was younger, that it was clear what was on the news pages of let's say print media versus what was on the opinion pages, but that feels more blurred now. The bias is coming out in the news pages where it shouldn't be coming out. And of course, that's very true of the cable news networks like CNN and MSNBC and Fox, where so much of it is just sort of opinion. You can kind of hear it in the anchor's voice. There's still, and maybe you're too young to remember this, but in the 70s and 80s and I guess the 90s, I mean, the main source of news for so many people was the 6:30 evening news on CBS, NBC, and ABC. And those anchors would really just deliver the news. There was never a hint of bias that I can recall. And that could very well still be the case on the evening news at 6:30. But apart from that, it just feels like so many media outlets the bias comes through on their news pages or where it should just be objective.
That's very true. The number of, on YouTube of videos covering those people reading the scripts, and they're from different media outlets, yet they're reading the same script about the same story. And there's this eerie feeling that, this is propaganda and this is not, objective reporting of facts.
It makes it so much more difficult for us to know now what's true and what's not. And it didn't used to feel that way. It used to believe the news. Now, even when I read the news and, reputable media outlets like the Washington Post and the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, I second guess everything. I guess years ago when I worked on the, I was really involved in the campaign to ban horse-drawn carriages, and I still am, by the way, in New York City. And I made this documentary film called Blinders about the plight of the horses and took viewers behind the scenes. So I had to learn a lot. I had to dig really deep on that one issue, and I learned a lot. And then I would see the reporting in the New York Times about the horse-drawn carriage issue and think, this is just factually incorrect. What they're stating here is incorrect. And then when they would opine about the horse-drawn carriage industry on the editorial page, they got it wrong too. They just got it completely wrong. And I thought, if they're getting it wrong on this issue that I happen to know a lot about, then what else are they getting wrong? So I do feel like I read the news with more of a grain of salt now than I did in my, when I was in my 20s, 30s.
Definitely. What do you make of the fact that now, if you open the news app or think of a title of a media outlet, you get incredibly depressed? What is this about? Is this done on purpose? Because those negative emotions are drivers of engagement more than, something more positive. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, the opposite could be true for other people who look open their feeds and it's all stories about kittens and puppies, frolicking. I mean, I think so much our feeds are curated now in a way that we were unimaginable, maybe 15 years ago. And so I think that we're being delivered what they think we're going to read. So for their advertising purposes. So, but yeah, they're capitalizing on our emotions and our interest to deliver us news that is going to make these outlets more the most money. It's definitely, it all feels manipulative and a little bit dangerous.
Do you get depressed from doing this, coverage of anti-vegan and also pro-vegan media coverage?
I guess my first emotion would be frustrated to see the propaganda and to know what we're up against. And then a far distant emotion is grateful for those who are doing it right and who are being fair and giving us a true shout out where we need it. And so those are the emotions. I wouldn't say, depressed. Depressed is how I feel when I watch, the video footage of what goes on inside of factory farms and slaughterhouses. But the news coverage itself is just making me frustrated and angry.
Well, it must feel good to, have an initiative to, vent, on those issues. Must feel like journaling.
Yeah, it feels like I'm doing something. I'm fighting back. I know it's making a little bit of a difference, as I said, because some journalists have replied despite the lack of engagement, from our side. So it feels like, something good could come of it. Look, we're all spokes in a wheel. The people who do undercover investigations or open rescues, or the people who are out on the streets doing vegan outreach, education, websites, campaigns, street campaign. We all have something to contribute here. This is just a very tiny spoke in a very big wheel. But if I find that, it continues to make a difference, if I feel like it's making a difference, I'll keep at it and, and solicit people to help me and, maybe eventually get funding and turn it into something, an official entity. Right now it's just sort of a social media platform on, on all the platforms, basically at Veg Media Watch, trying to demand accountability and trying to augment, and amplify the pro-vegan stories and the fair stories.
Wonderful, Donnie. It's an amazing initiative. It really is, and it has great potential. I think you said we're all doing our own thing, but I feel like this is affecting everyone and the efforts of everyone. So thank you for that. So, Donnie, did you want to add something before I stop the recording?
Yeah, just that if people could please go to the Veg Media Watch on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, Threads and LinkedIn. Veg Media Watch is on all of those platforms, and each one of them, sort of the posts are a little bit different, tailored to that platform. If there are reporters who use some platforms more than others, like I find out where they are and I target them and the editors and the media outlets. So find me on the platforms that you use and share it, comment, like, engage in some way because there's power in numbers. And so the more engagement we have, the more likely, the bigger impact we'll have, I believe.
Well said. Dalny, thank you so much for your great work, and thank you for having taking the time to answer my questions. And yeah,
thanks for your interest and your support.
Of course. Well, you're a returning guest of the show. I should have mentioned that, but I discovered Veg Media Watch, and I'm always pronouncing it Veg, but it's Veg Media Watch through LinkedIn, and it was recommended to me by the algorithm, and I thought, this is amazing. I need to have the person behind this initiative on the podcast, and it happens to be you, so I'm really happy about that.
You can't get rid of me.
Well, for the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I kindly invite you to share this podcast with the vegans you know. Let's encourage more people to take action. Again, thank you so much for caring, and I will see you next Tuesday for a new episode.